We don't take that for granted. You could have been anywhere. You chose to be here today, and I'm praying that God chose for you to be here today to hear what's going to be presented. This is the beginning of Advent, and we're starting. Remember, we're going to be lighting these candles up here that we're going to light today. We're lighting the candle of hope, and then love, and joy, and peace. All four candles are going to be lit each Sunday until we get to the center candle. That's going to be Christmas Eve. And that's when we light the Christ candle. But this Sunday is the candle of hope. In first service, Sister Peggy shared with us about hope. Wow, what a person to light the candle of hope. She's lost her husband, she's lost her son, and she lost her daughter. And I'm thinking, wow, who can go through such things and still have hope? Today you're going to find out how and why. It was interesting. At the end of her presentation, she said, oh, I almost forgot. They just told me I have cancer. I'm thinking, who is this lady? But she said, I'm standing in hope. I'm going to believe, and I'm going to trust God, and I have confidence in Him. And I want you to know the hope we're going to be talking about today is not just for the easy days, but it's for the difficult days too. In this service, we've asked Mark and Iris Peterson to come and light the hope candle for us, and they're going to share from a different dimension and even have some pictures to show us, because a few weeks ago, remember, they were in Zacatecas, Mexico for the dedication of a building. We call it the building that Hope built. And so would you put your hands together and greet Mark and Iris as they come to share with us this morning. Bless you. We're going to use this microphone there.
I guess I could say that our hope today is so much stronger than what it was 4 years ago in 2015. The Lord was working with us beginning in 2006. He called us back into the mission field. And we were working with a small church in Matamoros with a pastor named Humberto and his wife Bernadina. And we were working with them for about 4 or 5 years. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just called us out of that work. And He gave me a vision. He gave me just a simple red arrow. And it was pointing up to northern Mexico. And so I told Pastor Humberto that it's time for us to leave. And I told him what I saw. And he goes, it's a red arrow, right? And I go, yeah, it was red. And he goes, that means stop. And I said, no, it means go. And so we left, and we went to Juarez. And that was given to us by God through a series of revelations as well. And I eventually got Pastor Ibarro's number from somebody, and I called him up on the phone. And he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And I said, I want to go to Juarez and work, and I don't know where to go or what to do exactly, and I need a church. And I didn't know at the time that he had been burned in missions, and he didn't want to do that anymore. And then all of a sudden his heart just changed, and he said, yeah, you can come, and we'll feed you, and you can stay here. And so we went to Juarez in 2016, and Steve and Becky went with us. And they're here today, and we got to know Pastor Ibarra. And then through a series of events, things were happening down in Zacatecas where this building was built. In 2015, Pastor Maria, she had a dream in her heart to start a church in 2015, and the Lord was moving us to Juarez in 2015 to meet Pastor Ibarra. And he had known her previously as when she was a little girl. And she was part of his church, and she was in the youth program. And eventually they separated, and she went down to Zacatecas and married and had two children. And then God gave her that vision. And there we were with Pastor Ibarra, and he himself was working in Zacatecas over his 50 years of work, and he had established a ministry there as well. And so he was getting to know us, and we were getting to know him. And then we went down again in 2017 with a larger group, and then they came up here in 2018 as a church. And then in 2019, we went down there again with Joe and Brian and Corey and Fred and Linda. And hope I didn't miss anybody. And we got down there to Zacatecas, and we met the church there in the town. But outside in the country was the other church, Chupaderos, which we had just encountered. And they were meeting in an open-air garage, and there was about 20 or 30 of them. And after we had met with them and blessed them, and as we were coming back from the trip, the Lord laid it on Joe's heart to send, to raise money to finish the building. And so they finished the building with the money we sent. And then when we went back down again, Iris and I just recently for the dedication of the building, we were simply amazed at what we saw and how we were received. And they know you all and they love you all, and they're very appreciative for your love for the Lord and for your work. And they thanked me for that money that was sent down there. And the president of the Disciples of Christ of Mexico was there, and he told me that the money that he received bypassed entirely their organization and went directly to her, and she was able to receive that money and build this building. And so when we were down there, the building was built, and it was full, and there were people that were worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord. And we were thrilled and we were blessed, and it just amazes me how God works. And he told Peter that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And it's the Lord Jesus himself who is building up his church, and you are the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people like me and Iris and Joe were just servants of the church. And the Lord's heart is for the church, for you all. And there's a passage in Ezekiel that I'd like to read. And it's a beautiful passage, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. And it's after that the Lord was disappointed with the shepherds who were over his flock. And this was the time, you know, of the captivity of Babylonia. And the Lord himself says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day." And then over in verse 23, "Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." And you know, that goes all that's amazing. And then it goes all the way back to Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham and said, "Look at the stars. That's how many children you're going to have." And he heard the voice of the Lord, and he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And then it says, in hope, against all hope, he believed. And then in Romans 8, 34, I think, or thereabouts, there's another passage, and it says, "8:23, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees?" And so the Lord is saying there that our bodies have not yet been redeemed. But we know that we have been redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. But yet our bodies are still waiting for that day when they're going to be redeemed. And so it's in hope that we are saved. And the Lord blesses us with faith, and he blesses us with hope. And he is working within the church to build up his body here upon the earth with our weak, frail bodies. And there are many times during these last 4 years that I just quit. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm too weak. I'm too sinful. There's just no way I can do it. So I was thinking of ways to get out of it. But then the Lord would, he would, you know, reveal himself to me. And after that revelation of the Lord, then, why, yes, definitely I can go. And so then I would go. And then I would get down there, and like the second trip, just before we crossed the border, I was like just empty. I didn't have anything within me at all. I didn't know how I was going to do it. So I went to Iris and I just said, I can't, you know, I don't have anything. I'm weak. And then she looked at me and she just said, that's good. Because when you're weak, then you're strong in Jesus. And then everything just switched. It's like the light went on. And then the Lord gave me strength to do the work there in Juarez, those few days that we were there. And that's how it is. We're just weak. We're just humans. And we have a variety of different problems. And it makes no difference to the Lord, because we are his flock. And he himself is the one who is feeding us. And he is the one who is nourishing us. And he's given us milk to drink. And then he wants us to move on from the milk to solid food, to where we grow up in the Lord and we become more mature, to where we're not so easily, you know, led astray this way or that way. And we become firmer in our faith and in our walk. And that's what I've experienced these last 4 years. And my hope is so much bigger now, so much bigger than what it was 4 years ago. And just praise God for FCC, because without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to do all of this. And so, amen.
And God uses Mark and Iris to put hope in others too, because their hope's contagious. That's how I got down. I had no plans of going to Mexico. But if you don't want to go to Mexico, do not hang around these people, okay? Do not do it. But praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate them helping me and Peggy too preach the message today. I wanted to share my preaching time with them as we begin our Advent series, God with Us. It's the greatest news of the gospel. God has always wanted to be with us. From Genesis in the garden, he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. But then sin came into the world and broke fellowship with God. And they lost something. But God knew that was going to happen, and he already had a plan in effect, because his heart has always been to be with us. And he doesn't want to just be with us, but he wants us to be with him as well. And so there was this great plan that someday the promise, the hope would actually come to pass. I think people knew about the prophecies, but did they really? You know how you know things, but you don't know things? You kind of know, you look through a glass dimly, but yet God saw it clearly. And who would have ever thought that God's plan was to take on human flesh and to come to earth and be with us? Remember Grady's message a few weeks ago about the plausible argument that is often raised against, well, does God really love me? Does God really care about me? You heard it from Mark today. I don't have anything in me. I can't do this. But the answer to all of that is what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. God is with us. And if God is with us, anything is possible. The Christmas story is simple when, in Matthew, the message was clear that you will have a son and you will call his name Emmanuel, which is, interpreted, God with us. That is the Christmas message. And out of that comes the spirit of hope. And the message today is hope for the past, the present, and the future. I don't know what you think about the word hope when you see it up there on the screen. Some of you, I had somebody tell me once, I don't want to hear about hope. I've been too disappointed so many times. I just don't want to hear that word anymore. Well, I want you to know the kind of hope we're talking about today is not I hope so, it's not I wish, it's not a cross my fingers kind of hope. This is a hope that you can stand on with great confidence and assurance. I don't know if you've ever heard of the movie Shawshank Redemption. It was in the early 90s. It's a prison movie. And in that movie, there are two characters, if you've seen it. One is named Red and the other's name is Andy. Red's been a prisoner a long time. He knows the ropes. He's been around the block. Andy, he's new to prison. And if you know the story, he was accused falsely of murder. But Andy has a different perspective. And one of the greatest parts of the movie is when he breaks into the warden's office and locks the door and secures the PA system throughout the prison and plays Italian opera music across the entire prison, and they couldn't get to him. These prisoners are going, what is that? And this music radiates. It's just this beautiful lullaby-type music. Well, they finally get him, and they throw him in the hole. That's solitary confinement. And he's there for 2 weeks. And then he comes out of the hole, and he goes into the dining room, and him and Red have a little conversation. I want to play the clip because they're going to talk about hope.
Like a year. Damn straight.
I have Mr. Mozart to keep me company.
So they let you tote that record player down there, huh?
It's in here. In here. That's the beauty of music. They can't get that from you. Haven't you ever felt that way about music?
Well, I played a mean harmonica as a younger man. Lost interest in it, though. Didn't make much sense in here.
Here's where it makes the most sense. You need it so you don't forget.
Forget?
Forget that there are places in the world that aren't made out of stone, that there's something inside that they can't get to, that they can't touch. It's yours.
What are you talking about?
Hope.
Hope. Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing.
Are you like Red or are you like Andy? Hope, is it a dangerous thing? Andy said it was something that no one could take from him. It was an inward hope, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I believe the Christmas story is full of this hope. Everything we consider during this Advent season, love, joy, peace, it all flows from hope. If you remove hope, everything collapses. Hope is the foundation. And when I look at the Christmas story, I see hope everywhere. And I think it is dangerous. It's not on the screen, but in Luke 1, we know the story well of Zacharias, the priest. We know that God had promised him and his wife that they would have a child. But they were up in years now, and it didn't seem very hopeful. And as a priest, you would draw lots to see who was going to serve in the temple. And it just so happened that Zacharias pulled the lot for this day and went into the temple. The people couldn't go in. He had to go in by himself, and he would serve at the altar of the Lord. And while he was there, an angel showed up, not just any old angel. Gabriel came, the angel who says he stands by the Lord all his days. And he was dispatched from the throne to go to Zacharias and give him some great news. You're going to have a son. Zacharias heard this news, and he, like others, began to question the angel. I've never questioned an angel personally. I'd believe anything they told me. But he questioned it, and he said, wait a minute, I'm pretty old. And he goes, but let me tell you, this son is going to be special, and we know him as John the Baptist. He said, this son is going to come and he's going to fulfill prophecy and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And Zacharias went, well, how can this be? And because of his unbelief and his inability to embrace that hope, he was mute until the child was born. The angel said, you'll never speak again. And he came out of from serving at the altar. Everybody was wondering what took him so long. And he came out and he couldn't talk. He didn't know sign language, so he's probably writing things down on paper. I don't know. But everybody knew something happened. In that case, hope was a dangerous thing. And we know the story and how it ended. And after so many years, of course, John was born. And Zacharias was able to speak again. And they were trying to pick a name for him. And he goes, no, it's John. Gabriel told me his name would be John. Well, Gabriel appears again in the Christmas story in Luke, and he appears to Mary, a teenage girl who's going to be the mother of Jesus, God in the flesh. And he tells her this incredible story. And Mary listens, but it's kind of mind-blowing. But somehow her heart hopes in the message. And he says, yeah, the Messiah is going to come. You're going to give birth. And the Holy Spirit is going to impregnate you. And she's like, whoa. And what does she say to the angel? Let it be unto me according to your word. That's great hope, isn't it? Was it a dangerous hope? Oh, yes. Being pregnant outside of wedlock in that day, it could have been a death sentence for her. But in hope, she believed in spite of it, even though it was dangerous. Well, the word hope that we're going to look at today appears over 200 times in the scriptures. The Greek word for hope, that's the root word. It literally means to anticipate or to have an expectation with confidence. This is the kind of hope we want to zero in on today. This is the hope that God wants to share with us, the God of hope. It's not something you're going to work up to. It's something God is going to give to you. He's going to place it within our hearts. And this spirit of anticipation and expectation and confidence. But it's not just any kind of hope. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans, one of his crown jewels of all his writing, it's where the church gets most of its basic doctrine today, is from the book of Romans. In fact, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, the apostle lays out the theology of the church. It's deep stuff, good stuff. He talks about justification. He's talking about the gospel message, and he begins to peel it back and explain to us this incredible, amazing news, which culminates in this whole idea that God has come in the flesh, and the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, you know what I get excited about that? If the Word became flesh, that means when I hear the word Word, I think God wants to talk to me. And I want you to know He exactly does. He wants to talk to us. And He became flesh to do it. And that's the whole Christmas story, isn't it? And Paul begins to unlock this wonderful good news of the gospel message that God has come in the flesh. He has become the sacrifice for us. He has washed away our sins, never to be brought up against us again. It's not by works that we come, but it's by God's righteousness alone. And this great exchange takes place. And God becomes sin, my sin, and I become righteousness, His righteousness. Whoa. And then from chapter 12 to chapter 15, he takes those wonderful truths and he tells us how to apply it in our lives. What good is truth without application? And he begins to apply it. And wonder, read it on your own. Just read through those chapters. He says, well, now that I've given you the truth, here's what you do with it in your life. And here in chapter 15, he's coming to the end of his thoughts. And I want to zero in this morning, if we can. It is our text, verse 13. It's almost like Paul has finished writing. He's laid his pen down, and he takes a deep breath, pondering everything he said. And he speaks almost like a prayer, a blessing to all his readers, of whom we are one. And he says these words, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's in the New Living Translation. I just love the way it says it. It just flows so well. And I was reading that over that the other day, and I just kind of teared up. I thought, God, this is awesome. All of this wonderful truth cultivates in this whole idea of hope. Hope. Now, next week, we're going to talk about love. But I believe hope was there before love. And by the way, Mark's going to bring that message next week for us. And we have someone special going to light the love candle, and I'm not even going to tell you. It's a surprise. But love comes out of hope, doesn't it? And God is the source of hope. Where do we get hope? It is a person, isn't it? And he's come, and he's deposited in us. And the word faith and trust, they come from the same root word as hope. Hope and faith and trust, they're all the same. And so I want to look real quickly in the time we have, four manifestations of biblical hope. It's in your insert, and you can see H-O-P-E. We're going to use each letter, and we can go through this. And I want you to meditate on this week. What does this hope look like? Let's take the first letter, H. H. When I thought of the letter H, I thought, it's about our hearts, isn't it? Isn't that where hope is? It's in our hearts. What kind of heart? A heart that fully trusts God. Those are people of hope. Do you know people like that? They just trust God. You know, for Mark to go down to Mexico and not even knowing what's going to happen, Mark and I, as they go down there, and even this last time, we didn't really know what we were going to do. And hope is like that. It gives you just enough light to take a step. But you can't see up there. But hope is not for what you have. Hope is a trust in God for the future and what's coming. Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we all know this. You probably have it memorized, don't you? Trust in the Lord with your heart. Is that what it says? All your heart. You mean you could trust Him with part of it? Yeah. God's looking for us to come and give Him our all. We do that in a spirit of hope and confidence. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. One translation says, He will crown your efforts with success. Hebrews 11:1, faith and hope hold hands together. In Hebrews, this is the faith chapter, it declares in the opening statement, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's an interesting word, substance. It's a substance. Early archaeological digs uncovered some interesting items from the day and age of Bible days, and they found a gentleman who had been killed and buried over, but in his possession was a box. And there was a little note that said, in this box is my substance. So everybody was anxious to open the box. What is the substance? And they opened it up. It was a title deed to land. And so could we read this scripture that faith is the title deed of things hoped for? That God, this is not a wishful thinking kind of hope. This is something we can hang on to. He goes on that this faith is the evidence of things not seen. See, hope is not for what you can see. If you can see it, touch it, feel it, you don't need hope. Hope is for something you can't see. In verse 6, later in that chapter, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? That's hope, that's faith. But I want you to know, and you hear me say this often, I remember the day God spoke it to me, is it's not faith that God loves. It's you. But he loves what faith does because faith draws us to him, and that's what it's all about. Because God wants to be with us. And faith draws us to him. That's what it's all about. A lot of people make a show out of faith. But really, you know, when I think of faith, it's a relationship with God. That's what it is. In Romans 4, 18 through 21, this is Abraham. I think Mark referred to it in their sharing. Abraham was another one of those old couples who heard from God. How many of you are glad God doesn't do that much anymore? 100 years old, you're going to have a baby. Yeah, wow, that's kind of hard to hope in. See, a lot of our hope is calculated. You got a 401k? Have you calculated it out for the future? I mean, you can, you know. I mean, you don't really know, but you can kind of calculate it and put some plans into place. That's not the, and you hope it works, right? You hope when you retire, there'll be enough money there for you. But you really don't know, but you do the best you can. But there's another kind of hope, and it's based on the promises of God. That's not a, these are things that we can stand on. And Abraham was given this promise, him and Sarah, you're going to have a son, and you're going to be the father of many nations. That's what Sarah did. And she laughed, and they heard her. The angelic visitors heard her laugh. And her son's name illustrates it, doesn't it? Laughter. And what does Paul say about it, that story? He says, Abraham, who, when things were contrary to hope, in hope he believed. How many people here this morning, things are contrary to hope in your life? What does that mean? They're the opposite of what you think they should be. In fact, my mom used to say to me, you're so contrary. What did she mean? You're the opposite of what I want you to be right now. You're so contrary. You're pushing back all the time. Is life pushing back on you? And you and they say, that's why I don't like that word hope, because hope is dangerous. And some of the hope, boy, it's, well, Abraham, when things were totally the opposite of what hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So you shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Here it is. Is this our definition? And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Are you fully convinced? This morning, Rodney Moore, Taylor's dad, was here. I don't know if you noticed, he's got a cane and his hip and knee, just having a lot of problems. He came down just in simple faith, responding to this message, and he asked us to pray for him. And I prayed for him. I anointed with oil, and I prayed. And then I went and prayed with somebody else. This little boy had come up, and I was praying with him, and I heard this commotion. It was Rodney. He was running around in front of the sanctuary, saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. I have never experienced this before in my life, but a warmth came over my body, and he threw his cane down in the seat, and just, I was like, wow, glory. Sometimes we pray in hope, but do we really believe? And what a precious experience, amen? He was hoping, and he got what he hoped for. Well, what about the letter O? This is important. I think hope affects our outlook on life, right? An outlook of divine possibilities is what I call it. There's our question that we've been asking a lot lately. When we're in a situation, especially when things are contrary to hope, we need to ask this question. I wonder what this will make possible. When you're in a bad situation, when Peggy was sharing this morning, I mean, how do you go through those kind of losses? You lose your husband and your children are small. And then your son, who's the son who went to Bible college, he gets sick and dies. And then her daughter, Hillary, who we all know, precious, precious, she's taken and gone. And now she's told she has, how do you, now if somebody was going to reject hope, I would think it'd be that person. Don't talk to me about hope. But instead, she's embracing hope. And she said these words. She said, you know, grief with hope is much different than grief without it. Wow, there's somebody talking from a deep place of experience. What kind of hope is this? It changes your outlook. Romans 8, 28 and 29, we all know this. We know, it says we should know. Do you know? Do you know? Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Notice he didn't say everything was good. He said it will work to good. That's a hope statement for the future. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. How about 2 Timothy 1? This is a great scripture, isn't it? Verse 7 in 1 Timothy, Paul's writing to young Timothy, trying to encourage this young pastor. And he says this to him, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And he has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, in which I was appointed a preacher as an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Listen, when you're going through tough times, what's your outlook? Hopefully it's hope, and hope looks at things a lot different. Otherwise, you move into a place of hopelessness. Have you ever been there? But God says, I want you to live with hope, even in difficult times like Paul's talking about there. What about the letter P? I had to select three words there in three scriptures. These words appear in all of these verses: purity, perseverance, and patience. Let's look first at 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. That's what Mark was talking about. It's yet to come, isn't it? For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. What makes us live the way we live? Hope. Hope. Romans 8, 24 through 25. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Hope brings perseverance. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Hope helps us be patient. It helps us walk in purity. It affects that level of perseverance in our life. It all comes out of hope. Otherwise, it's just your flesh. It's just an earthly hope. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. What about the last letter E? This is important. Eternal inheritance. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 4. How often do we read this scripture? When do we read it? At funerals. We probably need to read it more often because of the truth it contains when it comes to hope. Hope, chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Remember what Peggy said. Grief with hope is much different than grief without hope. God didn't say we wouldn't grieve. In fact, the deeper you love, the deeper you grieve. If you don't grieve, you don't love. God grieves. But we grieve with hope because we know the promises God has given to us. For if we believe that Jesus rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And here's his closing statement. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Boy, I want to hear those words. Amen. Anybody here ever lost someone you love? You know, that's when we stand in this hope. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, Jesus' resurrection is important because that's where my hope is based. Because he is the first fruit of that resurrection. He says, and this leads us to an inheritance. Anybody here ever received an inheritance? Still waiting on mine? Sometimes you know about inheritances before they come. Sometimes they're a surprise, aren't they? I remember once an inheritance that I knew about through my business where an inheritance was left to children, but they were too young. The inheritance was there, but they weren't allowed to touch it until they reached a certain age. You say, well, that's weird. You got an inheritance, but you can't touch it. You can't do anything with it. But is it still theirs? It's as good as theirs. I think our inheritance is kind of like that. It's been promised to us. We can't always touch it, but it's ours. And listen, he goes on in the New King James, it says, this inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away and is reserved for you in heaven. How many of you like reservations? I like reservations. You don't want to go to a hotel without reservations, do you? Oh, do you have a reservation? Or you go to a nice restaurant, do you have reservations? We had that problem yesterday, didn't we? You turn around and walk out because you can get call-ahead reservations, right? Nothing like a reservation. Hey, man, and now you go to the movie, you get to pick your seat. Isn't that cool? Now I can be late. How many of you know you have to watch 30 minutes of previews now? Isn't it horrible? We need to all say something. But anyway, I've been sitting here an hour and waiting for my movie to start. Glory to God. But now you got a reserved seat, right? And we loved it. We went to the movies, and there was this couple. And they sat in front of us, and I heard him say to her, we'll sit here until they make us move. I said, So we waited. Sure enough, we'll move. They moved to another one. Then they had to move again. I thought, that's a terrible way to live. Man, I got my seat. I didn't have to worry about nothing. When you got reservations. When you don't have reservations, you're going to be like that couple. You're going to be jumping all over. You're going to be a moving target, right? Reservations. God has made reservations for us. It is our internal, eternal inheritance. And that is my hope today. Is it yours? We're going to come to the table. Hebrews 6, 18 through 20. This is incredible scripture. And on the screen is only going to be verses 18 through 20, but you got to know the couple verses before that are pretty important. Because the writer in Hebrews declares that God has made a promise. In verse 17, he says, thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability, what's that mean? The unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God made an oath. He had a promise, and then he made an oath, which is impossible for God to lie. And then we pick it up here, and I like this from the New Living Translation. It just flows so well. Therefore, if that's true, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us, in front of us. And then he goes on, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. What's an anchor do? You Navy people, an anchor keeps your ship from moving in the storm and being bashed against the rocks. An anchor keeps you from drifting. Because you can be sitting in a boat, you don't even know you're drifting. But you are. And pretty soon you go, whoa, what happened? The anchor keeps us steadfast and sure. This hope, the hope we're talking about today, does not disappoint. It is a strong and trustworthy anchor for your soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. That's why Jesus came. Up till then, you had to have a priest. You had to have an intercessor. Jesus came, nope, I'm going to rent the veil in two. And when he died on the cross, he shouted at us. See, that's what he's always wanted, God with us. He's always wanted that. I don't want you to go through anybody. I just want you to come to me as you. I want you to come. I've opened the door. You can come freely. You can come boldly. You don't, yeah, but Lord, I'm not really good enough shape. No, I want you just, I know about you, and I am sympathetic with your weakness, because see, I've been tempted in all points just as you. And so this veil has been opened so you can come freely anytime, anywhere, any place. You don't have to go to a temple anymore. You don't have to wait for a specific time to pray. It's 24/7. Wow, what access we have. God with us. He says Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. That means forever. And so, we come to the table this morning. This is the table of hope. I'm going to ask our servers to come, if you would. And if you're new here, this is open communion. If you belong to the body of Christ, you will not be turned away. This is all about your relationship with the Lord, the God of hope, who came during the first Advent. And we're standing in a neat place. We're standing in the middle of the first Advent and the second Advent. How many believe there's a second Advent coming? And you're standing in the middle. We can look back to the past and see it. And we can look forward to the future and see it. And we can live our lives right now in it, in this hope. That's what God's called us to do. Amen? And we're going to come to the table and celebrate that. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you say, I hear all this talk of hope. I'd like to have it. You can. It's a person. It's God Himself, who from the beginning to the end wants to be with us. Would you receive His invitation today? Father, as we come to this table and we take this bread, we remember your brokenness of your Son. We remember the blood that was shed on Calvary for the remission of sins. And now our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They'll never be brought up against us again. Lord, this is our hope. And Lord, we are hoping because of that. We know the promises you have made by an oath, that we have reservations for the future. But until then, we live out this hope every day in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We invite you to come down the center aisle, take the bread, dip it in the cup, and make your way back to your seat again. God bless you as you come. Would you stand with me, please? As we prepare to leave, the invitation is always open for prayer. Maybe you need a touch from God today. I just want you to know there's a lot of plausible arguments I know going on in your head, as they are sometimes in mine. But everything changes with this truth that God is with me. God is with me. Even in difficult times, God is with us. In Hebrews 10, and I want to just declare this over your life today, the writer says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. You ready? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises is faithful. Amen. Who needs to hear that today? I remember, and you've heard me say this before, my mom told me once. She said, you know, the more I prayed for you, the worse things got. But in hope, she believed. Sometimes you wait a long time. Who's waiting right now? Because there are promises that God's given us. And we should never waver. But we should hold fast. And when things are contrary to hope, you stand in hope and believe. Now, if Mom could have seen the ending of things, it would have made life a lot easier, wouldn't it? But that's not how it works, is it? That's why we need faith and hope. And you know what's interesting about this scripture? You ready for the last two verses? Because it's something that you're doing right now. I never connected these together till just now. He said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So when we gather, it's out of hope. It's that non-wavering hope is what causes us to want to be together. Isn't that great? So this whole thing centers around this hope. The hope that God has given to us as a gift to anticipate to expect with confidence. I want you to leave in that spirit today and believe God and hold fast to the promises that He's given us. And next week, you're going to hear about love, because that comes out of the river of hope, that God loves us and nothing can separate us from His love. And that love pours out of us. It came to us. It's in us and it flows through us. Isn't that awesome? What a work God is doing in us this season. I want to give you an invitation again as I pray and dismiss you. Don't run off. Maybe you need somebody just to pray with you. Maybe you feel hopeless today. Say, I don't have a spark of hope in me. Well, I'd like to pray with you. Or maybe you have something you want to bring before the Lord in a spirit of hope. I want you to do that. If you need healing in your body, come, we'll pray for you. If you just need a hug or encouragement, that can bring hope. Your life can bring hope to other people. We want to do that. That's what we seek in this season. Father, we love you. We love each other. And we pray for your anointing upon this church. May we receive the anointing of hope. May we walk in it, in our families, where we work, in our neighborhoods, and in our church, especially during this special season. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.